right, well, as you noticed, this morning we'll be looking at the topic, Jesus, the Great I Am. And let's begin here in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9 with these great prophecies about who Jesus is and who He would be as the Savior who has come to earth now. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Underline that word, Emmanuel. It's an important Hebrew word. In Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Excuse me. Notice these descriptions of the child who will be coming, and this description carries through Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah 8, and Isaiah 9. This is part of a whole section in the book of Isaiah that's talking about the rule and the reign of the child Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel in Hebrew is significant. It means, literally, God with us. God with us. And so here is one who is going to be born into the world from a virgin, and He is then going to be God with us. That is the very definition of the incarnation. Jesus being both God and man. Notice also in Isaiah 9, a child is born, a son is given, but His name will be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, look at this, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. That's a description of God. That's not a description of a mere human being. And so we have in the Scriptures then, Jesus the Great I Am. And I would like for us this morning to sort of look at this idea that Jesus was God. And not only was He God, but He was the God of the Old Testament, who guided things in such a way so that eventually He would be born into the world as the Savior of the world. And that's what we would like for us to think about this morning. First of all, let's look at God in Scripture as we think about Jesus the Great I Am. Because first of all, we want to see how God is described in the Old Testament. The various different names of God that are used in the Old Testament to describe God. And I would like for us to think about a few of those this morning. First of all, there is the Hebrew word Elohim, which is most of the time translated God. It's used 2,606 times in the Scripture. For example, it is the word used here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. In Exodus 3 and verse 6, there when God appears to Moses in the fiery bush, the burning bush, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." That's the word Elohim. Moses hid his face, for he is afraid to look upon God. Okay? So it's very clear that this is talking about God, the God of the Old Testament, all right? Elohim. All right? Now there's another description of God, El Shaddai. And this is translated God Almighty. You find this seven times in the Old Testament. Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Almighty God, El Shaddai. Exodus 6 and verse 3, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty." All right, there it is again. El Shaddai. But notice, "But by my name, Jehovah," or Yahweh, "was I not known to them." And that name we're going to be talking about here in a minute. But we have Elohim, God. We have El Shaddai, God Almighty, or the Almighty God. There is also El Elyon, which is God Most High, or Lord God Most High, the Most High God. It's used 28 times in the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, chapter 14 and verse 18, we have "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, El Elyon," the Most High God. And then we have El Olam, the Eternal God, or the Everlasting God. This description of God is used three times in the Old Testament. Genesis 21 verse 33 is an example. "Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the Everlasting God." The Everlasting God. So we have Elohim, God. We have El Shaddai, God Almighty. We have El Elyon, the Most High God. And we have El Olam, the Everlasting God. All of these words are descriptions of God. And then we have Adonai, which is a generic word that means Lord. And sometimes this word is used to refer to respected human beings. And so it's not exclusively used for God, but it is Adonai, Lord. So in the Old Testament, sometimes Abraham was called Lord by Sarai, and that would be the word Adonai that she used. But a lot of times it refers to the Lord God, and that's why you see sometimes in the Scriptures, it'll say the Lord God, defining specifically what Lord is being discussed. And so now it's used in Genesis 18, verse 3, where Abraham said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Psalm 38, verse 22, "Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation, Adonai." And so Adonai is sometimes used to refer to God in the Bible. And then there is this name that we talked about earlier. It was used in several of the passages that we looked at earlier, but it is Yahweh. Some translations have it as the word Jehovah, and you'll see that in our songbook sometimes in certain songs that we sing. But most scholars today believe that it is pronounced Yahweh. And this is the word that God used to describe himself to Moses in Exodus 3. By far, this is the most used name for God in the Old Testament. 6,519 occurrences of this name in the Old Testament. In Exodus 3, in verses 13 through 14, we read, "And Moses said unto God, Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh hath sent me unto you." In Isaiah 44 and verse 6, "Thus says the Lord," that word Lord there in capital letters, and oftentimes you will find that in certain translations, they will use Lord in capital letters to refer to God, because this name, Yahweh, is being used in the Hebrew text, okay? And so the word Lord oftentimes in the English translation is used for Yahweh in the Hebrew Bible. And so thus says the Lord, Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord, Yahweh of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. And so there's a brief review then of the names of God in the Scriptures. Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai, and then Yahweh. And so all of these names being used in the scriptures for God. Now, question, if Jesus is associated then with these names used for God in the Old Testament, we would be pressed then to receive the teaching that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament, that he is also Adonai, Elohim, El Elyon, El Shaddai, and Yahweh. And is that then the case? Well, let's look then at Jesus in Scripture. And as we think about the teaching about Jesus in the New Testament and what it says about him, and lining these thoughts up then with the descriptions of God in the Old Testament, I believe that we will find that they correlate exactly. Notice, first of all, that Jesus is God in the sense of the word Elohim. We saw back in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now in John 1 and verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this is the Greek word theos, but this is the generic word for God, just as Elohim was the generic word for God in the Old Testament. And so it lines up, it matches. And here Jesus is pictured as being, as participating in the creation. The God of the creation. Is that Jesus? It is Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Notice also 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now this is a very special grammatical construction here in the Greek language that is using two different words to refer to the same person. And the person is identified at the end of the construction. Who is the person identified? It's Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is both God and Savior. And so there should be no doubt that Jesus is identified as God in the New Testament. Elohim. He is Elohim. What about El Shaddai? Is Jesus El Shaddai? That is God Almighty. In Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 through 27, we have the story of Jesus' power over the winds and the waves. Do you remember that? The disciples were in the boat and they were out there trying to get across the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm came up suddenly. And what happened? They were afraid that the storm was going to capsize the boat and they were all going to perish. And so they woke Jesus up, who was sleeping in the bow of the ship, and said, "Lord, save us." And then he rebuked them for their little faith, and he said, what? "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves ceased, and it was all well with them. He demonstrated his power over the winds and the sea. That is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one who has power over all things. In Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12, there is four friends who have a friend who is sick with a palsy. And they Jesus is in a house teaching, and the crowd is so great they can't get in the house. And so they go up onto the roof of the house and they start taking the roof apart so that they can lower their friend down into the house so Jesus can heal him. And the first thing that Jesus says to that man is, "Thy sins are forgiven." And everybody is astonished. Who has the power to forgive sins except God, right? And Jesus says, "And to show that I have the power to forgive sins, watch this. I say unto you, arise, take up your bed and walk." And that's exactly what the man did. And that proved then that Jesus had the power of God. He was El Shaddai. He is also El Elyon. In Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, we see Jesus in the transfiguration. And there he went up onto a high mountaintop and he took Peter and John with him there. And while he was there, he was transfigured before them, the Bible says, and his clothing was white, whiter than any dry cleaner could make your clothes white, in essence, is what the text says there. And he was talking with Moses and with Elijah in that context. And then Peter was so floored by the whole thing, he said, Lord, it's good that we should be here. Let's make a tabernacle to you and Moses and Elijah. And you know what happened at that point? Moses and Elijah went away and there came a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear him. He's the one you should be listening to. He is the most high God, you see. He is higher than Moses. He is higher than Elijah. The most high God, El Elyon. And of course, he is Lord. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 7, there Jesus is confronting a group of demons and they recognize him as Lord, Adonai. And they said, Lord, are you come to destroy us before our time has come? They recognize his authority, which is what the word Lord signifies. And so Jesus is Elohim. He is El Shaddai. He is El Elyon. He is Adonai. But what about Yahweh? What about that description of Jesus? Is that used of him within the New Testament? Well, let's look at Jesus' teaching then about himself as he describes himself in John chapter 8 and verse 24. He said, I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I am he. You'll notice that in your Bibles the word he is in italics. And that's because it's not in the original Greek language. The translators have put it in there for a reason. Because they are trying to say Jesus is the Messiah, which is good. He was the Messiah. But in the original language, Jesus just says, except you believe that I am. I am. Well, what is that? Well, that's the Hebrew word Yahweh, and they understood exactly what that meant when he said that. In John chapter 8 and verses 56 through 59, the same chapter, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, implying that he was eternal, that he existed before they were there. Both the claim of being Yahweh and El Olam, the eternal God. And then notice Jesus' statements in John chapter 14. And verses 4 through 11, and you may remember in that context, Jesus is talking to his disciples. In John chapter 14 and verses 4 through 11, he's trying to talk to them about the fact that he was about to go away. And as he mentions these things, he says to them, you know the way. And one of the disciples said, what is it? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14, verse 6. But then after that, another one of the disciples says, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus says, have I been so long with you, and you have not known me? He was making a claim right there to be the Father. What a tremendous teaching then of his oneness with the Father. And that therefore the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7 is fulfilled, that Jesus is the everlasting Father. Jesus is God. Notice Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, when asked if he was the King of the Jews, he affirmed it. Are you the King of the Jews? You said it. That was his response to Pilate. You said it. In Revelation 22 and verse 13, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Both of these claims together go to the teaching of Isaiah 44 and verse 6, which says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Jesus is then making the claim to be, in Revelation 22:13, the one true living God, the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, Elohim, El Elyon, El Olam, Adonai. In other words, he is God in the flesh, just as the prophecies in the Old Testament said. The conclusion then is simple. Jesus is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Olam, Adonai, and Yahweh. And what does that mean then? That as we read about God in the Old Testament, as we read about God in the New Testament in the form of Jesus, we're reading about the same God. The significance of this then is profound because we understand Jesus, who came in the flesh, is God. He was no mere human being, no mere mortal, but He was the one who came to save us from our sins. Now that's profound because that means that God Himself took it upon Himself to pay the price for our sins in His own person, the person of Jesus the Christ. And in doing that, He paid the price that we could never pay. By going to the cross and dying on the cross, it was God who died for us. The one who didn't have to die. The one who was eternal. The one who was immortal. The one who was the Creator from everlasting to everlasting. The great I Am hung on that cross and suffered there for me and for you. Now, if God is willing to do that for us, are we then not willing to give our lives for Him? And maybe this morning you would like to do that very thing by listening to Jesus, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then you too can become a child of God through obeying His will. What is that plan that He has given us? To hear His word and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Or maybe this morning there's someone who needs to turn back to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Jesus Christ Himself. We talked about that in Bible class this morning, that if you leave Jesus, you're leaving God. You can't leave Jesus and say, I still believe in God. If you leave Jesus, you don't believe in God anymore because Jesus is God. And so this morning, maybe you need to make a change in that regard. And if you need to do that today, we're ready to help you in those areas. And why not then come today and make that request known in your life while together we stand and while we sing the song of invitation?